Again, welcome to worship tonight. For those of you who just came in, my name is Eric Holland. I'm the pastor here at Holden. And leading worship tonight and preaching is Doug Thorpe, who's here on teaching staff for the week. For worship tonight, you will need one of these blue Gather Worship books. I believe there's still a few left back there. There are a couple on the back wall there as well. We begin worship tonight with a song by the choir, and I'll invite them to come forward now.
The choir this evening will be singing a song called What Wondrous Love Is This? And they will be doing it in a rather traditional approach known as shape note singing. This style of singing began back in the early 1800s in America, and it was sung in a square like you see we're assembling here. It was not performed, it was sung in these singing groups as a square, and much of the music has found its way into our hymnals. There's over 15 songs in our ELW which come from either the Sacred Harp or Southern Harmony, which were books of this shape note music. And there was no leader for the group, and we'll now sing for you, What Wondrous Love Is This?
Reading from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her home. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity, and live and walk in the way of insight.
Good evening. My thanks to Eric for the invitation to give the homily this evening, and to the directors as well. And that song was so beautiful, I feel like just shutting up and not saying a word. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? It's a prayer from Hildegard of Bingen that matches that song, I think. Holy Spirit, giving life to all life, moving all creatures, root of all things, washing them clean, wiping out their mistakes, healing their wounds, you are our true life, luminous, wonderful, awakening the heart from its ancient sleep. So have any of you ever been lost in the mountains or in the woods? Anybody here? Okay. Yeah. I have a colleague. I teach in the English department at Seattle Pacific University. I have a colleague who works for the search and rescue in Washington State. And he told me this story of a young man, once you know the story. He got lost on Tiger Mountain. And so what does he do? He's got a cell phone. And he's got a GPS device with him. So he calls his mother in Chicago. That's a phone number he has handy. She answers. He gives her his GPS coordinates. She calls Washington State Search and Rescue, and they come and find him. A success story, yes? But this is what my colleague Luke asked about this. How is it that we can know exactly where we are and yet not have a clue as to where we are? Does this make sense? This is a Zen homily tonight. Wisdom has built her house. She invites us to join her, to partake of her bread and wine. But what or who is this wisdom? And what might she have to do with knowing where we are? I work at a university, and it's a Christian university, so you would think that there would be a pretty profound sense of the nature of wisdom. But often, wisdom is associated simply with academic knowledge, scientific, philosophical, theological. It's sort of like Garrison Keillor has a wonderful retelling of the nativity story that my wife Judy and I were listening to as we're driving up to the ferry. The three wise men in the Garrison Keillor version are three university faculty members. There's the assistant wise man, and the associate wise man, and the full professor wise man. That would be me. That's why I'm getting paid the big bucks for being here. So, having spent much of my life in adult education, I have a pretty good sense that wisdom is more than that. It has something to do with smarts. It also has a strong dose of common sense to it. And it does have something to do with education. There's even speculation that the Book of Proverbs was originally designed as a textbook for young students. But I keep wondering, what most deeply is wisdom trying to teach us? Where is she trying to lead us? Is she something we can memorize or figure out? When he established the heavens, I was there, says wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm quoting. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he assigned to the sea its limit, I was beside him like a master worker. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. That's wisdom. The Hebrew word is chokhmah. It's a feminine noun in Hebrew, as it's a feminine noun in Greek, sophia. And so wisdom is often associated with the feminine. Wisdom is the creative force, without whom, we might say, there is no creation. Wisdom is that aspect of the divine that delights and rejoices, celebrates, and says with Yahweh, says as Yahweh, after the creation, that's good. That's beautiful. Wisdom has something to do with beauty. She is the poetry of beautiful motion, the poetry of dance, of bird flight, the movement of deer. She's the poetry of evolution, transformation, change. Wisdom is the third person who is present when we go out and meet the other. When we make love, in whatever form we make it, I would say wisdom is present. But what has this to do with knowing where we are? Or, as my colleague asks, how is it we can know exactly where we are and yet not have a clue as to where we are? And I think the answer is actually right in front of us. We lack wisdom. And I mean this in two ways. We lack the wisdom of common sense, of our common senses. Think about the hiker with his GPS. He has extraordinary technology to tell us where we are, powerful tools. But like most technological advances, oddly enough, while it appears to give us control, it leaves us strikingly vulnerable. Think about if you turn on the tap and no water comes out. Where are we? Or you turn up the heat on a cold morning and the furnace doesn't turn on. Where are we at that point? We don't know really where we are. We are up the creek, you might say, without a paddle. There's another version of that saying. This young man had his GPS tracker, which did tell him exactly where he was, but it was of little help to him alone. What's missing was some actual knowledge of the landscape, a context, the watershed, rivers, topography. What's missing was knowing the place. But I'd say that knowing wisdom is something more than that as well. I'd suggest that we need wisdom in a deeper way. Call it a sense of true north. We need a sense of meaning, of purpose. We need some sense of what's at the core of things. This is very mysterious, but I think we all have some sense of what that feels like. And how do we have that sense? Well, the mountains and trees can teach us some of that. Poetry, film, the visual arts, the sacraments. Whatever it is that gives us a sense, however dimly, of the divine. Wisdom is such a common word. There's a lovely short poem by one of our country's great living poets in a book called Braided Creek. The poet writes, it's just four lines. What I would do for wisdom, I cried out as a young man. Evidently, not much. Or so it seems. Even on walks, I follow the dog. You that are simple, turn in here, wisdom says to us all. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight. These are beautiful words. Walk in the way of insight. Not just literal eyesight, but truly taking in what we see. I think of the first psalm. Happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in due season. This law, this Torah, is another name for wisdom. You could also, from another culture, call it the Tao, call it Dharma, both of which words mean way or path. Or try the Navajo word, Hojo, which means variously health, well-being, beauty, harmony, or alignment with the way things are. We might also call it the way, the truth, and the life. Which, of course, brings us back to Jesus and the Gospel of John, where Jesus is that bread and is that wine, meaning he is explicitly identifying himself with that figure of wisdom. He is that dance. He is the poetry from whom and through whom we live and move and have our being. Wisdom delights. Wisdom rejoices. She is that life in us, giving life to all life, as Hildegard says, luminous, wonderful, awakening the heart from its ancient sleep. And I have a feeling that she is what those disciples met in the presence of this man, Jesus, as he walked about Galilee. That bread of life, that wine, stuff of the earth, broken down from wheat, grapes crushed, given new life in a new and beautiful form. She is how we know where we are. May we meet her during our days here in the mountains, along the creek, walking the labyrinth, singing and worshiping, breaking bread together. May we meet her in our solitude and our sorrow, in our community and in celebration. May we know her in the late afternoon light, in the deer that walk among us, in the beautiful darkness of the night, even as we stand in line waiting for ice cream. May we know that she loves us, that she holds us to her as a mother hen broods over her chicks, as Jesus even now holds our brokenness to his breast, the way he holds the broken city, Jerusalem, with justice in his heart, but also with absolute tenderness. May we know ourselves as cherished. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. What wondrous love is this, O Lord, that you show to us through such extraordinary music, community, friendship, food, mountains, creeks. To you, to the Lamb, I will sing. Throughout eternity, I will sing to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will be concluding with hymn number 454 in the blue hymnal.